The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And now back to Lifeline with Craig Roberts.
It is a church in the East Bay with a very long and glorious history. Roots in Oakland, but for perhaps the bulk of its years, it has been in Castro Valley at the location where undoubtedly all are familiar. Perhaps the phrase where the three beautiful crosses dominate the landscape in Castro Valley rings a bell. And if it does, it leads you to, of course, Three Crosses Church of Castro Valley. And joining me now is its senior pastor, Pastor Danny Strange. Pastor, great to have you with us today.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
We're excited to spend some time talking about the impact of this ministry that's been going on since 1937 and the kind of the migration from the early days on MacArthur Boulevard and then eventually from the north part of Oakland moving further south to what is today, I think, still Center of Hope Community Church, and then eventually to your location where you've been since, I guess, the late 1970s, 1980s, there in Castro Valley. 2600 John Drive, and for listeners, that's 20600 John Drive in Castro Valley. But the easiest way to find it is just look for those three magnificent crosses. Let's talk a bit about the ministry. First, start. I'm fascinated and curious about your own spiritual journey. I understand when you first crossed the threshold of Three Crosses, it was not as a potential senior pastor or youth minister, but rather as a bit of a skeptic. Tell me more.
Yeah, I grew up here in the East Bay in Hayward, Castro Valley, and I was attending Castro Valley High School and had some friends in the youth group at Three Crosses who, unbeknownst to me, were commissioned by their youth pastor to start reaching out and praying for folks in the school community that were far from Christ, and I was one of them. And so every Wednesday night, we've been meeting as a youth group on Wednesday nights since 1941, I think. So every Wednesday night, this was not 1941, so it was 1997, they would invite me to come to youth group with them. And I just said, no. And yet every day they would eat lunch together. They'd pray before they ate, and they'd pray for young men like me that they knew who needed to know the Lord, and just kept praying, kept inviting. And eventually the Lord softened my heart and to the invitation to come. And so I came to church, and it took a few times, but eventually just fell in love with the youth group, fell in love with the music, and then started to fall in love with the message of the gospel. And so October 1st, 1997, I raised my hand and said, I'm interested in stepping over the line of faith and talking more about what it means to be a follower of Christ. And so I've been part of the church ever since. And so I came through the doors as a high school skeptic, and have been here ever since.
Now, at that time, had you come from a family that had any sort of a faith tradition, or had the notion of regular Sunday church attendance been largely foreign to you?
Yeah, my mom grew up in a big Catholic family in Hayward, and my parents met at St. Elizabeth's High School in Oakland. And so both of them growing up were every week Catholic church attendees. And yet, when I was a kid, we'd do Christmas, we'd do Easter, and that was about it. And so they had kind of walked away from church. And so it was a kind of a new awakening. We had to kind of wrestle through that of, hey, if you're going to go to a church, how come you don't go to the church that our family used to go to? And I said, hey, I just love this church and I love what they're teaching. And eventually my whole family started coming to church. When I got engaged, my parents said, well, I guess he's going to stick around at this place. I married a woman at the college group who, her parents actually met at our church in the Port of Call ministry. And so they said, well, you know, when I joined the staff, they didn't think he's sticking with this church thing. But when I got engaged to a Christian girl, they said, I think he's sticking with the church thing. And so they started coming. They came to faith, and my sister came to faith. And so our whole family got saved at Three Crosses and attended there for years and years.
What's the reaction looking back now when your folks think of those early days, perhaps with a sense of skepticism that suddenly you're going back to church, but it doesn't happen to be the faith tradition per se that you grew up with, and now here you are these years later, actually the senior pastor of that church?
Yeah, I think at first it was a bit of a an adjustment. My dad had some rough experiences in his faith background, and so he was pretty cautious about faith in general. My mom, really more 11 brothers and sisters saying, hey, he's got to go back to our church, you know, and so there's a little social pressure there. We've got a really close family. So, it was never rocky. They always kind of gave me the freedom to explore what I was looking into, but there was always a bit of a, you know, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to quit business school? Are you sure you want to go down this pathway? And it all started to make sense to them when they gave their hearts to Christ. And so my parents both passed away in the last 10 years. But until that time, they were connected to our church and following the Lord.
What was the aha moment for you? You talked about going, being a skeptic, hanging out. You kind of slowly had been invited in. But at what moment did it kind of click for you that there was more to this Jesus, this Savior, than just a figure that hangs on a cross at the back of the church or that we know of from a distance? And suddenly you're moving into a situation where you're being encouraged to not know him from afar, but rather to get to know him personal and close up. What was that aha moment like for you?
I had two aha moments, and both of them were a little bit passive in the sense that I went to the youth group, like I mentioned one time, and I didn't say this. I thought it was really weird the first time I went. The songs were weird. I thought it was weird that a bunch of kids from different schools all over the East Bay were friends with one another. The whole thing was off-putting to me. And so I said, I'm not going to come to this thing again. And so this aha moment happened passively behind the scenes, where every week as these young men would pray for me, I felt like, I didn't notice it at the time, but God was transforming my heart on the inside, so that when I went back to church 8 months later, whenever it was that October, everything looked different. The songs, instead of seeming strange to me, I thought, man, this is amazing that these kids believe these powerful truths. Even the community that I once looked on with a little bit of skepticism, I thought, it's amazing. These kids really love each other and they're committed to one another. They're from different schools. This is really interesting. So something had changed in my heart that changed the way that I experienced the exact same youth group several months later. And so I stepped over the line of faith, really more kind of joining the faith community at that point. And so for me, that second moment was a year and a half later. I was out at UC Berkeley and felt like I was wrong, but I felt like I was the only Christian in the entire campus at the time. And I was trying to figure out what it meant to be a Christian in a public university, and just had the same kind of moment where I just felt compelled to pick up the Bible and start reading. And up until that point, every time I picked up the Bible, the words just fell flat. They didn't make any sense to me. But for some reason, on that day, I picked it up and everything made sense. I started reading the book of John and the words were just popping off of the page and I couldn't put it down. So day after day after day, it's almost like my heart had changed on the inside. And now God's illuminating his scriptures to me on the outside. And that began the season, a very short season of God changing the trajectory of my life and calling me into pastoral ministry.
Let's talk about that for a moment, because certainly the Christian walk of faith, the process of discipleship, is that. It is a process. It is transitional, and it takes place over time as we are putting off the old man and renewing our mind day by day, studying the Word, learning more about who Jesus is, who we are in relationship to God, etc., etc. But oftentimes you'll hear people say, well, I didn't have the big aha moment. I didn't have the yes, and I walked up the center aisle and suddenly fell to my knees, burst out in tears, gave up drugs. There are certainly many very dramatic conversion testimonies out there. But perhaps it's important, too, for folks to realize that while they're all equal and valid, sometimes that discovery, that surrendering to Christ and his lordship is not necessarily something that is a moment, you know, spontaneous and on the heels of dramatic life experiences. Sometimes it's just slow, steady, and over time, the Holy Spirit is working on the inside, and suddenly you begin to realize one day, wow, I really understand who this Jesus is now, and I'm beginning to grasp a view of what he's done for me. And so just speak to that, if you would, because I think sometimes people think, well, I don't really have a testimony. I didn't fall off a bridge and get suddenly saved. I wasn't rescued from a lifestyle of drugs or crime. Talk about that for a moment, if you would.
Yeah, there's two ways that my conversion wasn't radical. First is I was a good kid. I didn't know it, but I was living like a Christian kid, lived in the high school besides the faith component, had a strong moral sense and had a good upbringing and moral parents. And so there wasn't a dramatic conversion where I was steeped in sin, so to speak, and had to give everything up. And then also, like you mentioned, in the moment when the gospel was presented, there was a bit of an aha. Like I knew I got to raise my hand. I got to talk to the pastor after this one. But looking back, the realization that I had was the real aha moment was that slow drawing of the Spirit to himself over time that I didn't even know was happening. I didn't feel like every week I was becoming slightly more susceptible to say yes to an invitation to church. I didn't feel like every week I was understanding the Bible a little bit more. It was really, in my experience, it was like a light switch flipped, but not in terms of a dramatic moment, but a light switch flipped where one day I opened the Bible and the words were gray. The next day I opened the Bible and the words were popping off of the page and I couldn't explain it, but I enjoyed it. And so I think for me, just enjoying the work of the Spirit in my life, not even knowing what it was at the time, was the most fun part of that season. Just think, wow, what is happening to me? Like, I've never felt this way. I've never thought about these things. I've never had this posture towards religion before. And I'm sure if I had a camera and I can go back and watch that whole season, maybe I would see a slow transformation in my life outwardly. I didn't experience it at the time. I didn't realize I was changing or my heart was even changing. I just noticed 6 months later, I'm interested in something that 6 months before had no interest for me.
It's amazing how the perspective of time and looking back can suddenly really help you see where the clear set lines of demarcation are. Our conversation today with Pastor Danny Strange, senior pastor of Three Crosses Church of Castro Valley. A brief timeout, back to more of our conversation right after this.
And now back to Lifeline with Craig Roberts.
Welcome back. We're visiting today with Pastor Danny Strange. He is the senior pastor of Three Crosses Church. You know the one, Castro Valley, the big three crosses that dominate the landscape there off of 580. He serves as senior pastor there. And Pastor Danny, let's pick up where we left off a moment ago. You speak to the notion that while the conversion experience is in different forms for different people, because we're different individuals, different perspectives, facing different problems, et cetera, et cetera. And so it can run from the sublime to, you know, the glorious and dramatic. And yet the one commonality that we do have, and that is that the very salvation experience itself for each and every one of us is in and of itself radical in the sense that here the very Son of God came down to walk amongst us, to eventually be a substitutionary work on that cross, that sacrifice, so that all mankind might be forgiven, might be restored unto fellowship with very God himself, and walk in relationship with the creator of the universe. This isn't, gee, I was at the Tesla factory and got to shake hands with Elon Musk. No, this is the very creator of the universe who so loved us that he set this plan in motion by which we might be saved and healed, restored, and reconciled. And in my mind, then, the mechanics that take place sort of behind the scenes, so to speak, and on the cross, and in the grave, and then the tombstone rolled away and risen again after the third day. Now, in my mind, that's about as radical as it gets.
The experience was a radical experience in that sense, where, you know, especially with my faith upbringing, I just viewed it as tradition. And all of a sudden, you know, and the friends that had been inviting me were a huge part of that, just demonstrating to me what the life of faith truly looked like. They definitely exemplified a relationship with the living God. So I knew that they were reading their Bible and praying to the Lord daily. I knew that they were worshiping and meant it. I knew they believed they could have a conversation with the God of the universe. I kind of was looking on from the side skeptically, but I knew they believed it. And yeah, at some point I found myself amongst them, reveling in the fact that I'm joining this community of faith where this is our relationship with our Creator. And it was radical in the sense too of just, even though I didn't go from, you know, from prison to righteousness or whatever it is in a literal sense, I look at the trajectory of my life and I would have never thought that my life would end up the way that it is on the other side of this conversion experience. So it definitely was a crossroads that took my life in a totally different direction, even though it didn't feel like a radical conversion in the moment.
That journey of yours, Pastor Strange, starting with the influence of just classmates, buddies from school, that they themselves perhaps not necessarily, or perhaps some did have radical conversion experience. And yet what seems to be the dominant influence here is living out faith on a day-to-day basis, being real, being present, and being an influence. And I have to wonder, so you look back on your own faith walk and the influence of those individuals around you, do we need more of that today? And I pose the question because there's some Christians who sort of treat their faith as the thing that they do on Sundays, and then they kind of go back to just everyday living, and it doesn't cross their mind until maybe late Saturday night when they think, gee, I got to set the alarm clock because I have to be up to go to church tomorrow. And then the following Monday hits and it's back to life as usual. Or those that would say, oh, I love God, but my faith is a very private and personal thing, and I don't like to talk about it. And yet you talk about these individuals who, in fact, were very upfront, not necessarily beating you over the head per se. And I don't get the impression from your story that it was sort of the aggressive Bible thumping turn or burn types, but rather that slow, consistent, steady, faithful, live it out in a real practical way that had an influence on your life. And I guess my long-winded question here is, do we need more of that today as we look at the world around us?
We absolutely need more of that today as we look at the world around us. I was thinking as you were sharing about Jesus' words in Matthew 5, in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, when he talks about the fact that we, his people, are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And I preached on this recently. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount at church, and I was just struck again as I studied the passage in preparation for the sermon that when Jesus calls us the salt of the earth, he is claiming that though we may seem small and insignificant, like grains of salt, our mere presence in the midst of this decaying world is powerful for the gospel, powerful for its preservation, powerful for bringing God's witness into the world. And so on one hand, just our mere existence in the workplace, in the school, in the neighborhood that we live, is something that God uses. Like with my friends, even when they weren't explicitly sharing with me, I was passively watching their lives and noticing their difference. And like I said, at first I thought it was strange and I didn't want to join their way of life. But eventually, as my heart changed, that's what drew me in, was just their mere existence in the world. And so on one hand, just the existence is powerful, but then in those opportunities to be the light of the world, to let our light shine, before men, that is a moment when those opportunities emerge and we can share, or we can demonstrate or pray for someone or come alongside someone in a broken time of brokenness. These are moments that, in a sense, heaven meets earth, and we get to bring the presence of God to someone else's life just by following his prompting in that moment.
Sometimes I wonder if perhaps we make it entirely too complicated. In other words, we think, well, if I'm going to share the faith, I have to be prepared to tell the entire story. And, I'm not comfortable with the explanation of, here's the chair and where would you be and the four spiritual laws. And what if they ask me a question that I'm ill-equipped to answer? I don't want to embarrass God. And so I'm just going to kind of leave that up to the professionals. Pastor, after all, he's got an MDiv. He's better equipped at this. And yet what you're explaining is a group of people who lived out their faith, but at the same token, at the right time, with the leading of the Holy Spirit, were apparently not embarrassed or ashamed to say, hey, would you like to come to church with us on Sunday? Or, gee, I understand you're going through it. Can I pray for you? I mean, these are simple things. And I think sometimes we hesitate to do it, not because we're truly afraid they're going to reject God, because God, I think, big shoulders, I think he can handle it. Heaven knows he's been rejected many, many times down through the millennia. But rather, we're afraid that we'll be rejected, and so therefore we stay silent. And yet you describe a methodology of reaching others as you yourself were reached that is gentle, that is loving, that is consistent, and doesn't require an MDiv in order to tell somebody to come to church on Sunday.
I'm thinking back through my own journey, and there was a point when someone sat down with me and did that chair analogy that you're talking about with who's on the throne of your life. And yet for me, that was a couple years after I came to faith. And it's just interesting. I was desiring that type of discipleship in that moment. And so that was an important step for me. But I don't know how I would have experienced the chair analogy 2 years before when I didn't even have a context for this. Like you said, in that season of my life, it was really just friends being friends. I was going to their house for sleepovers. We were having parties, just hanging out, doing what high school kids do. And I noticed these are good kids. And every Wednesday they'd invite me to church, just like you'd invite someone to a concert or a football game. And I just made up excuses, just like people do when they don't want to go to a concert or a football game. And they never seemed offended. They kept asking. It never felt like a hard sell. And eventually I said, yeah, I'll go tonight. And I don't know if inside they were like cheering that I finally said yes, but I'm sure they were.
Well, they were.
And I think looking back, I truly believe the most powerful thing that was happening was their daily prayer for my salvation. Mm. Because it wasn't just me. We had, I think, 21 high school young men came to faith that year through the same strategy of just let's pray for each one of us three, pray for a friend of ours that doesn't know Christ before we eat our lunch, and let's invite those three guys to youth group on Wednesday. And when one of them gets saved, let's add a new guy to the mix. And so 21 high school boys got saved over the course of my junior year of high school through that very simple and friendship-based strategy.
And I think at the end of the day, that's what people are looking for. They're looking for something that's genuine. To borrow an old phrase, they're looking for something they can hang their hat on. And these days, when we see so much turmoil in the world around us, and so much of the false, if you're looking for love or truth online, probably not a good place to start, especially if you're tying it into social media, things of that sort. But that doesn't negate the fact that that desire to know truth, to have a foundation upon which your life can be built, to have a compass, a guide for the way you live out your life, and also have a sense of security. So if something happens to me, what will my, if there is a God and there is an eternity, what will my destiny be? And I think the ability to just slowly share truth and to be consistent about it, we can have a greater impact on the world than we could ever imagine. We just need to get started.
One of my favorite resources on evangelism is actually an epistle that was written after the scriptures in the first two generations of the church. It's called the Epistle of Mathetes, or to Mathetes from Diognetus. Mathetes means disciple. There's a description in there where he talks about how evangelism happens in the world in the second century. And he talks about the way that Christians live lives of righteousness. They live differently, and ways that Christians live lives of justice. They do acts of service in the world. They care for those who aren't their own. And he says in there, this is a paraphrase, he says, when they see our righteous living and when they see our lives of justice, someday we will see that they are singing the hymns that we are singing. They are reciting the creeds we are reciting, and they have been converted. And what I love about that is this sense, it really mirrors my own story, that as we live out our lives of faith in the real world amongst a dying people, they watch us living, and one of these days we'll look over and they're standing next to us in church reciting the Apostles' Creed or singing these psalms or hymns with us, and we realize, wait, when did that person come to faith? And maybe they have a story like my own, maybe they have a dramatic conversion story, but sometimes that's how conversion works, is as we simply live out our faith for real in the world outside our doors.
And a lot of it is reliance upon the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And I pose that question because some people eavesdropping on this conversation might think that, well, I have to, therefore you're pushing me into this start to finish sort of job, meaning I have to tell them about Jesus, pray him through, lead them in, get them to confess, lead them to Christ, pray him through, get them to church, disciple them. I got to do it all. And yet scripture talks about one plants, one waters, another comes along and is there for the harvest. And so this really is, I think, more a matter of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, just simply being available. Our conversation today with Pastor Danny Strange, senior pastor of Three Crosses Church of Castro Valley. A brief timeout, back to more of our conversation right after this.
And now back to Lifeline with Craig Roberts.
Welcome back. We're visiting today with Pastor Danny Strange. He is the senior pastor of Three Crosses Church. You know the one, Castro Valley, the big three crosses that dominate the landscape there off of 580. He serves as senior pastor there. And Pastor Danny, let's pick up where we left off a moment ago. I think sometimes we overthink this so much that we're paralyzed as opposed to just saying, you know, let me live out my life. I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, and I'm going to make myself available. And in those moments, if you got your ear perked up and listening to the Holy Spirit, you can say or do the right thing that's needed for that person at the time to do whatever it is God has called you to do as kind of a cog in the wheel of the bigger process of leading that person to Christ. You think that's true?
I think that's true. I think it's, on one hand, there's power when we lean in, when we intentionally lean into the Spirit's promptings in our lives, and when we live our lives on purpose with eyes, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I no longer see people through an earthly point of view. If anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. So looking at the world through this new lens, I think, is powerful, and anticipating what the Spirit might be calling me into today is powerful. At the same time, I don't think that that means every day we need to lace up our boots and be a door-to-door gospel salesman, so to speak. I think there's a time and a place for that. And there are people who are gifted in more of the what feels can feel like gospel sales in the sense of trying to get them to cross the line of faith.
Given the gift of evangelism.
That conversation. Yeah, sure. That's beautiful. That's never been my gift. And even just in classically sales in general, it's never been what I felt comfortable doing. But I do love being in a relationship with people and inviting people in. We have a church that believes in the power of invitation, and I love that. I joined an indoor soccer team. I started an indoor soccer team. I don't even know how to play soccer, but I started this team because all our kids were playing soccer together, and I thought, hey, if us parents can join this, start a team, who knows what God will do if we just create an intentional place where Christians and non-Christians gather together. And so half of the team are men and women on our church staff, and the other half are just men and women who are parents of my kids' friends. And God is already starting to just do some fun things with low pressure. They'll ask us about church, and they'll see that we live differently and ask if we have a youth program. And then one of their daughters comes with one of our kids to youth program and all that. It's just fun to see how the Spirit works even slowly. But I mean, that's over a course of 6 months. That's actually pretty quick for someone's eternal destination to change.
Absolutely. What you're describing is simply be available and be sensitive. And, you know, that's all it really takes at the end.
Intentionality is a beautiful part of that. But at the same time, availability is probably an even more powerful part of that, because God has intentions even when we don't. And so our availability to His call is probably the most important thing.
Now let's pivot to that topic of availability, because we began this conversation describing you as a high school age skeptic crossing the threshold into Three Crosses Church. And then here we are all these years later, and suddenly we find that Dr. Larry Vold has retired and there's a new guy. Not new. You've been actually, I guess, about 5 years that you've been serving as senior pastor.
Yeah, I've been senior pastor 5 years. I've been serving on staff. This is year 24 for me.
Came in and took a head just ahead of COVID. Wow, that was undoubtedly a challenge.
Wonderful timing.
Yeah, yeah. Give us the perspective as to the point at which God said, I've got something really special for you here, Danny, and this is what it is.
Our church has been, like we mentioned before, around since the late 30s. And one of the things that has been a hallmark of our church is longevity of our pastoral leadership. So I'm the fourth senior pastor since 1937. Pastor Earl Sexauer planted the church and passed away tragically at a young age. And then Pastor Jake led from 1954 to 1996. Pastor Larry, 96 until 2019. And then I stepped in 2019. And so I had the privilege of stepping into a church with a lot of legacy and maturity in terms of leadership transition. And I've had the privilege of working with Pastor Larry for 20 years before my transition. And so it was a really healthy transition. But yeah, I sat down with Pastor Larry probably 3 or 4 years before that transition, said, hey, I don't have anything concrete. I sense God starting to tap me on the shoulder and invite me into senior pastoral ministry. And I don't know what your timeline is, but if it's possible for it to work here, I would love it. And if not, I'm not looking to leave, but I just wanted to fill you in the moment that I feel like God's doing something. Larry's passion has transitioning the pastorate early, really wanted it for his own life, a season of full-time ministry on the other side of being a senior pastor, which I totally understand now. And as well, Pastor Jake was, our senior pastor Charlie was 80 years old, and he did a wonderful job. And yet, as Larry walked through his transition, one of the things that they processed through was, when is the right time? And so Larry had said for himself, I think the right time, few years left of ministry ahead of me. And so he said, let's start this conversation. And it started real slow. And then at one point when the Spirit kind of showed up and told our board, hey, I think it's time to make this change. Danny seems like a great fit for this role. We launched into a formal process that turned the corner on that. And so we had a very smooth pastoral transition. Our church is a very healthy church, very great people that come to our church. We had zero negative emails, which I feel like is another remarkable thing. Someone as healthy and strong as Larry, when the largest our church had been in its history, was the last day Larry was the senior pastor. So he left in a really good spot and had the humility to pass the torch, so to speak, in a way that gave glory to God and didn't. He didn't want any glory for himself. He didn't want to run with this thing longer than he felt like he was compelled to do that. And I think God honored his humility in the process by giving us a really smooth transition.
Well, there certainly is a wonderful theological legacy here down through the years. I mean, you think about a church that's built generation upon generation, which is true of the larger church in general, of course. You know, we stand on the shoulders of those that have gone before us. But the caliber and quality of the men that have been in that pulpit, going back to Dr. Billig and in through Larry and now to yourself, is encouraging. And I think it's a wonderful example also for the rest of us to say, okay, when it's done right and God honoring, here's the way the Lord can really bring about blessings in every sense of the definition of that term. So speaking of what God is doing at Three Crosses Church there in Castro Valley, give us a bit of a snapshot, if you would. It's a vibrant church, and boy, you know, sometimes people talk about this grocery store, they have something for everybody, right? You name it, from the produce department to our meat department, it's all there. And certainly in terms of the depth and breadth of ministry at Three Crosses, that's true too. Give us a bit of a look as to what that is.
Our two biggest core values that we've never departed from are preaching the scriptures and preaching the gospel. That's what our church has always said we want to be about. And so, you know, for us, we just say, hey, we want to be a healthy, biblically healthy church that has a primary passion for reaching lost folks with the gospel. And so what we've been really excited about in the season, even the season after COVID, is just the amount of men, women, and kids who are coming to faith in Christ for the first time. And so we've been leaning into that. A lot of things with our ministry that engages the community intentionally and provides an easy place for our folks to invite people along into a non-threatening environment. And so whether that's, you know, I meet people all the time who've been to the musicals that we've done through the years or come up to our coffee shop. It's called Cafe Four because we wanted it to be for the community, not for church people. But hey, this is a gift for you guys. Come on up and explore life and faith with us here at the church. A few years back when we were outside during COVID, we decided to pivot our indoor musicals to this outdoor ice skating rink, which has been a huge success. And so we've seen hundreds of thousands of people come up and visit the campus. And we've seen a ton of people, hundreds of people in the last couple of years, express new faith through baptism. And so at an evangelism sense, it's been awesome. We just hired a new youth pastor who's doing an amazing job reaching kids already in this first couple months of his tenure. And so it's just been a really fun season to see new folks coming in. And at the same time, especially because the people, many of whom that we're reaching right now, are brand new to Christianity and faith in general, we've had a really fun discipleship challenge in front of us where we've been launching podcasts for discipleship, classes for equipping. We're going through the book of Daniel on Wednesday nights with a few hundred people. We've got a families class going on. We've got all these things going on, designed to help give the basics of the faith to these folks who are coming to faith and people in our church who just love learning the scriptures. And so it's been a really, really fun season for evangelism and a really fun season for discipleship, which are our two favorite things to do. So it's been a really fun season overall.
And the fact that you're continuing the legacy, so to speak, from your own initial experience of it being approachable and engaging and being a kind of welcoming atmosphere where you kind of let your guard down enough that the Holy Spirit can really begin working on your heart. And in many ways, that describes the ongoing ministry of Three Crosses Church. You got anything special coming up for Easter?
Oh man, Easter is going to be fantastic. We've got a Good Friday service that's open to everyone. It's on Friday night, and at 7:30 p.m. in our main worship center. And then Sunday morning, we've got four services. We have a 6:30 a.m. outdoor services under the crosses, a sunrise service, which is a beautiful time. It's a little cold, but it's beautiful. And then 8, 10, and 12, we're in the worship center. And then we're doing a big outreach on Saturday before Easter, between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. We have our egg extravaganza. And so we're opening our campus up to thousands of families to come and do a big Easter egg hunt for the community. So great place to invite friends who are unchurched. And what we're hoping is that our people can say, hey, come back with me tomorrow. We've got Easter. And so those are going to be great, great services on Easter Sunday.
So if you're new to the Bay Area, or perhaps changes in the family, you're looking for a new church home, we invite you to come and check out Three Crosses Church on the web at the number 3crosses.church. So it's the number 3crosses.church. You think about .com.org, this is .church, 3crosses.church. They meet at 2600, that's 20600 John Drive, right off of Castro Valley there, Castro Valley Boulevard. And if you get lost, you don't even need GPS. You look where the three beautiful crosses dominate the landscape there in Castro Valley, right off of 580, and you'll find yourself at Three Crosses Church, where, of course, Pastor Danny Strange is senior pastor. Pastor, thank you so much for sharing not only your story, the story of Three Crosses, what God is doing, and giving a welcoming invite to all of our listeners. And again, we appreciate so much your time and your candor.
Thanks for having me, Craig. It's been a blast. So thanks for the interview.
You bet. More information again on the web at 3crosses.church. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Lifeline. Thanks so much for being with us. And if there was anything you heard on today's show that you'd like to hear again or share with a friend, grab a copy of the Lifeline podcast. Simply log on to KFAX.com. That's KFAX.com for the Lifeline podcast. Our producer is Wanda Sanchez. I'm Craig Roberts. Till next time round, remember, just don't keep the faith. Get out there and share it and make it a great evening. So long.
Opinions expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily represent the views of the ownership, staff, or management of KFAX. Copyright Salem Communications, all rights reserved.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.